Amen. So some of our snowbirds are back. You know what that means, right? Hard to get a tee time now because they're back. Bob, I know you're a big fan of golf. Have you been able to play at all since you got back this week? No? I know that'll happen. That'll come. Some of your compatriots who like to play with you have been looking forward to that. Quite a few people play golf. My dad was a really good golfer. I can hold the clubs pretty good, but I can't hit them. So I'm not much use on a golf course. But it is fun. But not everybody's very good. This one guy was playing, and he was not very good. He put the ball down. He took the club, and he was swinging at it. And he took this mighty swing and pew, missed the ball and just made a big divot in the ground. Well, unfortunately, there was an ant bed there. Yeah, he killed a lot of ants with that swing. It was pretty bad. There were ant widows and widowers everywhere. It was terrible. So then he got it, put the ball back, and he swung at it again, and hit the ground again, and more ants died. There were only two of them alive, and one turned to the other and said, "We have got to get on that ball or we're dead." Yeah, motivating. That's one way to do it. A sergeant was serving the military on his tour of duty. He was assigned to a stateside billet where he was to sell insurance to soldiers. I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do. They could have government insurance, and he had the best sales record of any sergeant in the history of the insurance that they were selling. It was amazing. They didn't know how he did it, but what they did is sent a representative to sit in the back of the room, and they heard the sergeant giving these young recruits the sales pitch about buying GI insurance. And he explained, all he had to do is to tell them this. Okay, so you guys have a choice. If you go into battle and you die, if you have GI insurance, your family gets $35,000 automatically. But if you don't, your family only gets $3,000. Now, from the government's viewpoint, who are they going to send into battle first? Yeah. Yeah, you guys can do the math. Ants and recruits, they had a decision to make. What are they going to do? Decisions are important. The choices we make, they are important. An important choice is presented to us today. Do we follow the one true God, or do we go after false gods? I mean, what is the name of our golden calf? Now let that roll over you for a second, because while we can read that Old Testament story and we don't have a golden calf, so to speak, we do follow fool's gold. The people in the wilderness couldn't wait for Moses to return. They had no patience. They had made the choice that they wanted a God, and they wanted a God right now, so they tell Aaron to make a God for them. And Aaron, to buy some time, ask from them their most valued possessions. Give me your gold. Give me your earrings and all of that. And figured they wouldn't be so quick to give that stuff away, and maybe there would be enough time for Moses to return. But he was surprised because they were ready to do whatever it took to get a golden calf. But today, people are just like that. I mean, we have no patience. We demand immediate responses. If we aren't served immediately, then we can deny God and even make our own gods. We fashion our own golden calves, our gods, out of material, earthly things, or even other people. And when we do it right now. It's, in a way, it's kind of like an instant grits mentality. Instant grits are great. Do you like grits? Oh, come on. Everybody's got to. Thank you. There's two people in the back. You and me at Mama's later. It'll be great. They have wonderful grits there. You get it. Yeah. Instant grits, though, it's something that you can do immediately. For those of us who have busy schedules, it's great to have. But I find that there's a tendency in the human heart to do the same thing with our faith. We sometimes try to formulate a God who accommodates us. We want to examine an occasion when a group of people created an instant God, an instant grits God. They wanted a God who would accommodate them. That was these Israelites. Now when the people saw that Moses was delayed coming down from the mountains, the people gathered together with Aaron to say to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So what do? Wait patiently? No. We take care of it right then. And verse 9 and 10 contain God's assessment of the situation. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people. and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn against them and I may consume them. God's assessment of this episode was not good. God was unhappy with the instant grits God. The first reason that God is upset with this is because an instant grits God is built on the wrong inspiration. Moses had left the Israelite people and traveled to the top of Mount Sinai to receive a word from the Lord, a word from God. Moses was slow in coming down from the mountain. His absence caused them to struggle. First, we read the phrase, when the people saw. Now think about that for a second. The motivating power of what we see. Do you remember what happened in the Garden of Eden when Eve was tempted to commit sin, the very first sin to defy God's directions? And so here the description. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasing to her eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. One of the popular advertisements on television are these Bowflex machines and the Tour de France, the bicycle thing. I always watch that. You know, it never looks like me on those things. You know, I can ride a bike, but I can do a Bowflex machine. But these guys, they always look like, you know, they're 30 years old and they're full of muscles, and the women are gorgeous. And, you know, I get it. And they're all about, you know, 22 or something like that. I look at that and I think, oh yeah, if I had that, I could be just like them. You know, it's silly, but you know, who in their right mind would not want to look like those people? We're motivated so often by what we see that we don't even get started on the internet. There's so much, but the point is, it's not difficult to be lured away by golden calves in the world. There are so many calves, so many idols. So I brought some. That's my idol box. First of all, time. How many of you allow time to be your idol? Oh, I don't know if I have time. This is my calendar. I have things coming up. Can I get away this Tuesday? Well, no, I don't know if I can do that because I've got that on Wednesday and Monday. And let me see, because this is ruling my life. This is what's important. Oh, you need me to be there to help you, but I can't. I got something scheduled. This idol, this calendar, time. See if we can squeeze you in somehow. Oh, here's the other one, though. Now, this one, this is alcohol. This is Stella Art. This is Stella Beer. Somebody gave me that. That's for later. I'll just put that someplace. Because we all know, you know, God said, experts say that when you drink too much, your personality changes. You become a different person, in effect. If you, if you're too much of your God gets inside of you, you become a different person. And when this God wears off, and maybe you've gotten down on your knees and prayed to the porcelain God one time too many, your problems just get worse. So that's that. Well, here, I don't think that's going to stay there. I'll put that down here. Put it next to the water in case I get confused. Hey, how about this? Anybody here into sports? Anybody? I mean, who won the game yesterday, FSU? Yeah, FSU won. Yeah, folks, you know, you can talk to me. It's okay. I mean, nobody's watching. I can play tennis. Ed loves tennis. Tennis is a great sport. But cycling is more my speed, and paddling. But sports, it can be our idols. I mean, see people, they wear the outfits just to prove that they're faithful to their sport. None of these things, these are not bad, but they can, you know, take over your life so easily. Okay, well, how about, this one. Oh, I hate these. Thank goodness New Smyrna Beach doesn't make me wear one of these every day anymore. I think when I was first in ministry in Atlanta, we had to wear a coat and tie every day to work. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But work, talk about an idol, something that takes up your time, something that you may allow to become more important than anything else. We all get, you know, 5 days of work a week. Some people work more than that. 10 hours a day. Well, some people more than that, and they work. Let it spill over to the weekend. If you want to get ahead in the company, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to put important things aside. Now, I hear this one. Here's the big one, of course. Where is it? Let's see. Oh, there it is. Credit card, money. Yep. How many of you use money as your idol, your golden calf? Yeah, I mean, this can get a little uncomfortable because we all We all fall to this one. Sooner or later, money becomes more important than people. Yeah, that's one. Work, that's money. Ah, yes. Now, here we go. How about your house? Oh, worse than that, your car. Anybody got car keys in your pocket? Yeah. You know, I love to watch people in their cars because they do really represent who we are. You know, if you're going to go and say, what kind of car do I want? Do I want one that represents the sportiness in me, or is it just basic transportation? Or am I a person who drives an SUV or a pickup truck or what? See, what you're saying is that this is a representation of you. This is your icon. This could be your idol. It's more. How many times do you wash your car a day? Remember, you were teenagers. You remember how important that was? You would wash it every single day, sometimes twice. Yeah, yeah. It can become an idol so easily. All right, well, how about this one? Now, some of you love to do yard work, right? Your houses are beautiful. You can make things grow, right? Right. But it can become an idol. I practiced that, actually. You can become an idol when it becomes more important than anything else. What your landscape looks like, what's coming up next to do, that can be your house, your landscaping, all of those things. But now there's this one right here. Drugs. Drugs that can become, again, so easily more important than your relationship with God, with other people. You get enough of it, you need more. No matter how much you have, you always need more. This has ruined so many lives so easily. But this other one, you're not going to think it's so bad. Let's see if I can get my shows on. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm in the wrong place. But television. How many of you will sacrifice personal time? Personal time with people that you say that you love, people that you care about. It becomes an idol. You can't miss my shows. You got my grandmother used to. She was so sweet. She never did this sort of thing because she couldn't work the TV. But God, Timmy was my middle name. Timmy, would you turn on my shows, which we knew was General Hospital. She had to have General Hospital every day. But I will tell you, you know, people, they had to have the biggest TV in the neighborhood. It's got to be like you're right there. You're right in the midst of it, you know. Gentlemen, you can step aside. I don't know, some of you probably could use some beauty products. I don't know. But how much money do we spend? How do we become slaves to our appearance, slaves to our bodies, slaves that it's more important to look good than to be good? Yeah, another idol. I think that's pretty much it. Oh, no. Now, this one certainly isn't it, is it? You know, my cell phone. Because this is not an idol. This is absolute necessity. It is the worst one. It is absolutely the worst one. I have taken, now, and I, listen, I'm going to set my idols down here, except for my phone, because I'm hoping to get a call here in a second. We'll see if that's it. But I've been to restaurants to sit there, and I looked around. Yesterday, I was by myself at Panhead's, and every single person in the restaurant was looking at their phone. And nobody was talking. And I was there by myself, kind of lonely and, you know. And I'm like, well, I guess I could pull out my phone and do something, you know. It is. It's addictive, isn't it? And it's becoming more and more so. Young people, I think Wilson would probably sign us up for parental abuse if I were to take his phone away from him. You know, because they live on this thing. It has become a source of entertainment, a source of information, a source of connection, a source of everything. Now, none of these are bad. You understand? I'm not saying that they're bad things. They do good things. I mean, but how many of them have turned into our gods? How many of them have fashioned for ourselves? When you put them into the right perspective, there's nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with having a TV or having a drink or playing a sport or anything like that. But I ask you again, what is the name of your golden calf? At what altar do you worship? Joshua tells the Israelites, they have to choose. He said that if you're not going to serve the Lord, then choose which gods you will serve. The gods across the river or the Amorite god in his case. But we face the same choice. We can't serve God and gods. It's either the Lord God Almighty, or it is other gods, but it's not both. Bill Hybels, he's the pastor of the Willow Creek Church in Chicago, said this: "Every single day we make choices that show whether we are courageous or cowardly. We choose between the right thing and the convenient thing, sticking to a conviction or caving in for the sake of comfort, greed, or approval. We choose either to take a carefully thought out risk or to crawl into a shrinking shell of safety, security, and inactivity. We choose either to believe in God and trust in God, even when we do not always understand God's ways, or second guess God and cower in the corners of doubt and fear." This Bible story of those lost Israelites is our story. We, like so many others who have lived before us, we are groping for a relationship with God. And sometimes we get off track. We chase other dreams which are just that, just dreams, which will soon turn into nightmares unless we come to the point where we can stop, repent, and return to the one true source of our strength, the kind, compassionate, grace-filled, loving God. Whoever stops calling us into a new, this God who never stops calling us into a new relationship, it's all about grace and judgment. The judgment comes as God allows us to live out the consequences of our choices. God allows us to do that. He doesn't insist that you behave. He just says, go and do what you think you need to do. But there are consequences to that. But the grace abounds as we accept God's gift of unmerited grace. That invitation, that unmerited grace that allows us to live in God's decisions and reap the wonderful benefits of God's decisions in our lives. Now, most of you know who Jeff Gordon is. He's one of the big NASCAR drivers. You could pick any of them. But I noticed, though, when I watch all this, that these NASCAR drivers, none of them will drive a Prius. Did you notice that? There's no Prius at Daytona. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a Prius. I mean, it can go pretty fast. It's nothing wrong with that. But you know, they would not have a chance against these huge race car engines than at Daytona, Talladega, any of that. Wouldn't have a chance with that. Not even the fastest speed that a Prius can reach would get anywhere near that, because a Prius is just a wannabe race car. It doesn't have the power to really compete. Is there anyone here who hunts? Anybody who likes to hunt a good bit? Yeah? Well, I will tell you, I've only been hunting a few times, and my dad wasn't a hunter, so I didn't learn to do it until very late in life. But I noticed the hunters that I know, when they go hunting, if they're going to shoot a deer, they don't take a BB gun. The BB gun doesn't work. They bring the right kind of gun. But I get that. I think of that the things that we bring to our lives, left to our own devices, they're just not powerful enough. They just can't do the job. If we brought a BB gun to hunt a deer, the deer would probably end up hunting us. So God says, you shall have no other gods before me. These aren't wannabe gods. Do you want a wannabe God with no power, or do you want the real God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the real God who can move mountains, the real God who can heal the lame, give sight to the blind, and resurrect the dead? Is that the God that you want? Because that's the real God. Not that. Never that. God is calling every one of us to throw away our golden calves, to put them in their proper place for you and for me, and instead to embrace the salvation that is made available through us simply by accepting Jesus Christ. Simply by turning to that, these other things can fall away. Their perspective is made real, and they are left for what they are. And in doing so, we will one day find ourselves walking in the promised land. That is our destiny. And so I guess it's your choice, and that's what this all comes down to. It is your choice, but you must choose. It cannot be both. And I'm going to go with Joshua and state that for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we are given choices. And throughout our lives, we will take those choices and we will live by them. They will be okay. But too often, those choices are bad choices. And we allow things to get in the way of you and your will for our lives. So when that happens, help us open our eyes and challenge us. Send us challenging people that will call it for what it is, an idol, something that we put in place of you. We ask this as we make decisions throughout each day. Help us to decide for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I'm going to read out the